Sometimes this guest asks me, will it gent? I'm Dennis Mojado, amateur radio call sign AD6DN. And this is the Handom Thoughts Podcast. This is a podcast about amateur radio, prepping, software, and tinkering. And today, this podcast, gents. Today I get to talk once again with K8MRD Mike of K8MRD Radio Stuff. Mike has some recent pivots in his life, and I'm sure people have questions about that. What happened, where he's headed, what he plans to do. Let's find out some of that today on episode 50. Stay tuned. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show.
Oh, yeah. What is up, brother?
How's it going, man?
It's going good. That was almost gent. That was good. It was good
and almost. Heavy. Almost. Yeah, it was pretty heavy.
I mean, it's no Meshuggah, but.
So tell me, man, what's up? This is kind of a unscripted one, although I did have some questions in mind. But
yeah,
well, what's going on with unscripted. You? For those who haven't seen Mike's video, even those who have, some stuff went down post move. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happened post move to the great state of Texas.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm still kind of in the dark myself, but basically, my company moved me down to Texas, as a promotion and. We're doing well. We're hitting our sales goals. My team is making money. I'm making money. That's why I moved. And then let's see how deep do I want to go in this? So my entire career in all of the stores and teams that I've led, one thing that will reverberate across all of that is that people will tell you I'm a great teacher. Until I got to Texas. Now, I don't know. Let's see how many people I can offend. I don't know if things are just different in the South, but my team didn't like how I ran things. So like I feel sabotaged. Mm-hmm. They would call HR and say that I'm unapproachable and creating a hostile work environment, like just totally like this doesn't make sense at all. Mm-hmm. Because this is not me. Yes, I'm a stubborn German, but I enjoy helping and coaching and teaching and I'm usually the guy that people come with questions because typically I'm going to have the answer. Mm-hmm. Now I might not just tell you the answer. I'll probably ask you a series of questions that will get you to come up with the answer yourself. As mm-hmm. I would think any kind of coach
yeah.
would do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I got the new boss came into town and dragged me into the break room and we hopped on a Zoom meeting and one of the higher ups was on the other end and he's like, we gotta step you down. I was like, what? So just totally blindsided.
Wow.
No communication with upper management. No trying to work and see what's really going on. Mm-hmm. Just completely, like, I have no idea. They haven't told me anything. I've talked to my boss, and he's like, he's new. So nobody really has answers. So, yeah. So
what, well,
that job anymore.
What is your status right now? Are you, did you leave that company?
Well, so here's where it kind of gets shady, because they know I live far away from any other place that I could work in the company. So they didn't fire me. They stepped me down and said, oh, well, you can go, you know, work somewhere else in the company. Well, that next closest place is 75 miles away from where I live. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of the opinion that they're trying to get me to quit so they don't have to pay unemployment. Mm. Because I've been with the company. The job is good. They have some shady practices, more than one. Mm. So that's kind of... So technically, I am still employed. I've been taking my vacation time, and now I'm on a leave of absence. The only thing that concerns me is healthcare.
Yeah,
with not being unemployed, because I have no intentions of going back to the company at all. Mm. so where that leaves me now is I've been fortunate enough to have, and this blows my mind, but I've been fortunate enough to have people watch me on YouTube to the extent where I am making some money. I'm certainly not getting rich by any means, but mm-hmm. I'm getting about half of what I need to pay my bills every month. So, I mean, I've got money in savings so that, you know, I can support myself for a while, but I'd really rather not dip into my savings. Mm-hmm. And I've got a good 401k and all that stuff. But so the first thing that I did, my kind of initial reaction when this happened, I made some phone calls to my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, told them what was up. And I was like, well, I mean, do I move back to Michigan, which I would absolutely loathe? I can't go back to Michigan. Because I would be in the same situation. But I would have to pay to move myself there and then be miserable for 9 months out of the year because I hate living there. Mm-hmm. Or do I stay here and try and find something else? So I made the video on my channel saying, you know, I lost my job, basically explaining in a nutshell, and just have absolutely been inundated with I've got so many emails that I have not even read them all. It's ridiculous. The reach from the ham radio community, totally unexpected to get that much support, which was amazing. And a lot of people were suggesting different positions. And the problem is I live in Huntsville, which is about 70-ish miles north of downtown Houston. So I'm kind of out in the boonies, which is what I wanted. Because I only worked about 40 miles from where I lived, but that makes it a challenge. Just because I don't want that long of a commute in the morning.
Yeah,
and pretty much any closer to the city would my drive time would multiply exponentially because it starts getting congested with traffic. I was kind of right on the edge of where, you know, your morning commute would start to build up. But right then I would get off the freeway and I'd be at work. So everyone that I've talked to, for the most part, mostly my friends and family and some commenters, you know, one thing kept coming back and it's like, you should find what you love and do that. It's like, well, okay, ham radio doesn't pay the bills. Okay, maybe if you own like an HRO or something, but it's like, I'm not going to go work at a ham radio store. That would just completely suck all of the fun out of it, in my opinion. Yeah. you know, it's like, yeah, it's a job and it's still customers. So I've been in retail sales almost half my life. And I really want to get away from that. Mm-hmm. Retail is, I'm done with it. Working weekends and nights and all that stuff. It just, it kills your soul, you know, especially the weekends. I don't mind so much working later in the evening. That's not a big deal. But every single Saturday, you got to work. And it's like, it's just, there's no quality of life with it. So I have to get out. And I was looking at other sales jobs and things. And it's just, there's, everyone's like, oh, there's so many jobs available right now. And it's, there are and there aren't. Not what I would want. So there's a lot of retail sales jobs. You know, I could go sell cars or things like that, but it's all the same gig. or there's a lot of tech jobs, but I don't have a tech background. So I don't, as much as I think it would be really neat to work in the tech industry, I love tech. I'm not a computer guy at all. I can't even get a stinking live stream to go properly.
We'll get to that.
Be in charge of a team, you know, developing software or something. I could tell them if it sucks, be like, no, make it better. But I couldn't tell you how. So I don't really have qualifications for that. And I started working right out of high school. I took a little bit of college, but I never graduated. So I don't have that. I've just been fortunate to make a decent living with the same company for the last 18 or so years. Well, now that's over. So getting back to everyone telling me that I should do what I'm passionate about. Well, I'm passionate about ham radio and I'm passionate about making YouTube videos. When I was a kid, it used to be, I want to be a rock star. I played guitar most of my life. But I can't write a song to save my life that I think is any good. So I've abandoned that dream. I still play, but I don't have any ambitions. And nowadays in the music industry, you're not going to make any money anyway.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for anyone in the music industry, but so I have decided that I am just going to do YouTube full time and see what I can make of that and just keep cranking out content and growing the channel and hopefully increasing the quality of the videos I put out in terms of production, taking my time a little bit more, maybe getting a little bit better shots or simply just like, I never ever did this and I don't know why, but just adding music just underneath the video, I think really just, it fills the dead. I mean, I have it so low, but it's just, you hear it in the background. I try and put like some happy, positive stuff on there. and I've done that in the last few videos, just to make them a little more enjoyable to watch, try and edit out all the fluff and just keep it to the point, which sometimes is hard, but
last I looked, you were around 15,000 subscribers,
just under. Yeah. It's about 14.7, something like that. So, yeah. And I'm averaging about 550 subs a month, which is great. It's absolutely fantastic.
That's great.
And you know, it's kind of the reason, and I just decided to do this when I was driving up two Saturdays ago up to Dallas for Jason's Support Your Parks weekend event. I'm like, you know, I'm just driving for 3 hours and I had time to just clear my head. It's just me in the road. And I was like, you know, I'm making some money on YouTube between YouTube and the Amazon affiliate accounts. Just the referrals from that. I'm making some money, nothing to write home about, but I put out, what really sparked this was that I put out a few weeks ago, I put out like two or three videos in 1 week. And after that, I was looking at my analytics. YouTube has all kinds of analytics. They'll show you the age group and how many people are watching and what time people are on and they've got it down to a science, so you can look at these analytics. And when I put those, I think it was three videos out in 1 week, just the analytics just shot up. I'm like, well, if I'm not working and if I'm dedicating 40 hours a week, let's say, to just making YouTube videos and putting out two or three videos a week, well, what can that do? How much can we grow this channel? And is this a viable option? Because for the last couple of years, honestly, I've just wanted to do nothing but YouTube. It's great. It gets me playing radio more.
Get you excited about going out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, I love sharing with the world ham radio, whether I'm failing or succeeding or building an antenna or whatever. I love sharing it, and it's just such a great community, and the overwhelming positivity in it is just,
yeah,
it's great. So that's what I'm going to do. So,
yeah, I mean, it seems like it's kind of a rough situation where you're pretty far from the metropolis, pretty much. You said 70 miles plus.
Yes.
Yeah. So either way, if you were to find, I mean, where a lot of the jobs are there, and either way you'd have to move, which would be on your dime. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a tough situation.
Yeah. And there, the other thing is, like, I don't know anyone here because I've been pretty much working all day and then, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of drive time a day. So I get home and I cook dinner and relax on the couch for a little bit and I go to bed. That's been my life. So
yeah.
It's just been work. But even if I were to move closer to this, I would have to hire people. It's not like I can call buddies and say, hey, can you come help me move stuff? So
exactly.
And I'd have to do it twice because they got to load the truck here and then they got to unload it wherever I would go. So I'm like, why don't I just stay here and see what I can do. See, you know, I don't have to answer to anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm my own boss. I get to do whatever I want. I'm not making very much money right now, but you know, that's the risk. Anyone that's been successful, has taken risks.
Yeah.
And this could be the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. This could be the catalyst to, you know, I don't have any, illusions of having millions of subscribers. Maybe if I made a gun channel, which I would love to do, you know, that would garner those. But even, you know, even 100,000 subscribers, is probably enough to have a fairly decent living on. I don't need much. I'm not a very materialistic kind of person. I was making a decent living with my company, but
I if you did a Guns and POTA channel, I would totally watch every video a few times. I would join any membership for that too.
There needs to be more shooting ranges at the state parks then. when we were out for field day at Jason's hunting lease, that shooting video I did was a lot of fun. I didn't even do a field day video. Like, I recorded a bunch of stuff, but I never put it out. I just did the shooting video. If I do the field day video, we're at the same place. It's the same guy. It's going to be the same video.
Yeah.
Frank's cooking ribs. Bob's cooking brisket.
So let's just shoot at the fish instead.
So, and that was a lot of fun. A lot of guys, liked that video. So
yeah, it was.
But that, man, you want to talk about expensive. Like, I only went through, and I have ammo. I haven't bought ammo in years, but I would guess I easily went through $100 in ammo just through a couple box. I mean, I probably went through maybe 60 rounds of 5.56 and maybe 50 or 100 rounds of 9mm. That's about it. And it's like,
yeah,
there you go.
You don't I don't even want to get started about ammo here in California.
Yeah.
Like 100 rounds in here in California is probably more than $100.
I'll bet. I mean, I'll bet it is just about anywhere now if you can even find it. So
yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately, I used to work next to a Gander Mountain, and like every payday I would go over. This is like in 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
And every payday I would go over there and buy, like,
just pick up some,
you know, 100 rounds of 5.56 or just what. I mean, a hundred round box of 9mm used to be like $23 at Walmart for some like Winchester, whatever it is. So I would get a bunch of that and, you know, what are all the other guns that I have, but yeah, not anymore.
So it's just going back. I mean, a real blind side. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was your thought process like that evening? What was going through your head? That
a lot. So, and basically, kind of like I said earlier, I got on the phone and started calling my family. I called my mom, and then I called my dad, and then I called my brother, and just kind of, we were all in shock, but everyone kept saying, you know, it's you know, like everyone said, well, if you want to come back home and you can, I called my uncle. Everyone's like, well, you can stay here until you get, you know, you find a place, whatever, which is great. But I would still be back in Michigan. Yeah. I love my friends. I love my family. I love my ham radio club. I love everything about Michigan, but Michigan. It's the weather. It's just, you hardly ever see the sun. It's just, it's a horribly depressing place to live when you like the outdoors and, you know, just seeing the sun, it just does something to me. It puts me in a happy place. When it's all cloudy mm-hmm. and gloomy, it's just, it's depressing. I had to get out of there. I couldn't stand it.
And so where you are in Texas now, it's like the complete opposite. It's super mm-hmm. hot,
yep.
sunny most yep. of the
which
year.
Which is what I want. I mean, I'm originally from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So mm-hmm. the oppressive heat is not something I'm unfamiliar with. That's mm-hmm. why I've had Texas on the radar for a couple years now, because I want to get to the heat. But, you know, so it's oppressively hot 3 months out of the year, and then it's very comfortable the other 9 months out of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus Michigan, it's nice in the summer, and then it's, you know, it can get 15 below in the winter, which is not fun at all.
Yeah,
it's spine cringingly cold.
I can't even imagine what that's like. I mean,
it's horrible.
Gets to about at the lowest maybe 25 where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine negative temperatures. I've only experienced it once when I was in New York. It was -3 and I looked like a ninja walking through the park, you know, and like my whole face was covered and my eyes were uh-huh. hurting. My tears were hurting my eyes. They were freezing.
Yeah. It's not fun. There's nothing fun about it.
Yeah.
So.
And you say that you got kind of bombarded by a response from the ham community. You know,
yes.
what were some of the things that you got? What were people saying?
I mean, a lot of condolences, a lot of people saying, yeah, that's happened to me. You'll bounce back. Something better will happen. Just overwhelmingly, like not a single negative comment at all. Not one mm-hmm. out of, I don't even know. I mean, literally hundreds of comments just on the YouTube comments. And then my email was just blowing up as well. And some folks had some jobs, but not a single one of them was in Huntsville, Texas.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I think there's one out in Connecticut, another one out in like Utah, Arizona, Indiana, all things that would require me to move and all things that didn't quite pique my interest enough to really want to pursue. One guy emailed me from fairly local. He's still probably about an hour and a half away for like an audio video company, not like TVs and stuff, but more on the technical side of things that actually sounded pretty appealing. But, you know, the idea of looking at, I can carve my own path, hopefully doing YouTube and supporting myself and being the only one that calls the shots, or working for someone else and having to do something that I may or may not be fully in love with, was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Just, you know, maybe let's get away from the corporate side of things and just, I have to try.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this is the time in my life where, you know, life or God or karma or fate or whatever you want to call it, is saying this is your chance to shine mm-hmm. and to be yourself and to be happy and to do what you want. And every day I wake up for the last couple of weeks and I've just looked forward to, you know, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? Or what do I get to do today? Or what do I get to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
Probably a better way of looking at it. And, I'm excited. I've been, I was editing a video literally all stinking day. The video I did for the Support Your Parks weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That I had so many hours of footage because we were literally. I got there at 9 o'clock. We left at 5, and I mean we're shooting all day pretty much. So I had, I mean not all day, but I mean hours of footage to go through to compress that down into I think I got it to about a 17-minute video or something like that, which is still pretty long for YouTube. And I don't think I stopped. I started at 8. I set my alarm clock for 8 o'clock in the morning, showered, dressed, all that stuff, and sat down at the computer about 9. And, you know, I went to lunch and things like that, but it wasn't done and uploaded and made the thumbnail and all that stuff until about 10 o'clock at night. And the day just flew by.
Wow.
Yeah. Which editing usually is not my favorite thing in the world to do, especially Parks on the Air videos. Mm-hmm. Those are the most labor intensive in terms of editing. You're just sitting there for, I mean, even an hour long activation to cut all that down and snip all the QSOs. And I mean, it's easily 4 or 5 hours per hour of footage that you have. So it's a, you know, folks might think you just go out, oh, you're just going out there and making a video. Yeah. It's a little bit more involved with that. So there's definitely,
if it was the raw unedited video, it would probably be, you'd probably drop off everyone after the first 15 minutes.
Oh yeah.
There's still the rest. And honestly, of the activation.
That's another one of the analytics that you can look at is the audience retention. And usually you'll only get about halfway through the video before about half of the audience drops off. So the attention span of folks since the inception of YouTube has definitely gone down. I think there's a sweet spot of about 13 minutes, 11 to 13 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think if you're under 15, you're still okay. But when I first started the channel, I was like, well, you know, I want to make the videos that I want to see. And I always wanted, when I'm watching guys like Tony and Jerry, and they're doing their portable activations, their videos would be, some of Tony's videos would be like 6 minutes long. I'm like, no, I want more. So my first few videos were like a half hour, 45 minutes or something like that. Nobody is going to watch that long of a video unless it's a live stream and folks are actually watching while you're live. They'll stay there with you. But
yeah, that's something I just thought of too, is that I don't get to watch live streams that often because they happen at times when I'm just preoccupied or work or whatever. And I do Team Replay a lot. And some of these I'll see it'll be like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And
it's
even
like,
so,
all right, we're watching Lord of the Rings.
But even so, I'll power through them. And it's not really powering through them. It's like, I'll just have it on. I'll be pausing it every half hour or so, go do something, come back, continue it. And even during the work day, like the next day, I'll continue it, and it's good stuff. I'm very interested in what the conversations are going on. So I want to get the full experience of the replay. But
yeah,
some of these ones, the adventure type ones, it's like if it's just back and forth QSOs for a 30-minute segment, you're probably going to lose a few people.
Yeah. As much as I love POTA, I get bored with those videos too.
Yeah.
But I mean, people keep telling me they love the POTA videos, so I'm going to keep doing them. I don't mind. I'm going to be out doing a Parks on the Air anyway. It's not a big deal for me to set a camera up and record it.
Yeah.
I've gotten pretty good at editing. I've gotten better at just looking at the waveform of the audio, and I can see where the QSOs are. So I can kind of just not even have to watch the entire thing while I edit it. I mean, watch it after the final cut, and I'll
you're still recording these entire, you know, like you did an 8-hour day of video recording. Is that still on your iPhone?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't have a,
you must have the biggest iPhone
DSLR cameras or anything. It's all on iPhone. I did buy a better microphone. I'm using a Rode Wireless Go now.
Yeah.
So my audio has gotten,
I've always wanted one of those, but I don't have a purpose for it right now. I don't do videos.
No, you don't.
I love the idea.
It's a great microphone. It's fantastic. I've not had a single dropout, which worried me because I was watching a lot of YouTube videos on them because it's in the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum. Mm-hmm. Some of the first iterations of that microphone, like a guy would literally turn around in front of the camera and it would drop out just because body, you know. But I did some tests with mine when I first got it, and I set my camera up in my front yard and walked all the way to the backyard. And then I walked behind two big oak trees and put the transmitter. So my body was blocking the transmitter. The trees were blocking the transmitter. It still picked it up. Never, ever had a single problem with it. And I can go
Cool.
I can go farther than I'll ever need to with it. So, because sometimes I'll have the camera one place and I'll be setting up an antenna and you'll be 60, 70 feet away from the camera sometimes. Never had a problem. So,
yep.
Yeah. And then I just bought the actual Rode lavalier. I was using a cheap Chinese lavalier and that thing sucked. So it's a fantastic mic. So I'm good to go. And the iPhone is a fantastic camera. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's got a better battery life. It's got more memory than any DSLR camera that I've seen. There was a time that I was looking at them. I was looking at some of the Canon, EOS, whatever they are, but it's like, it's a big, heavy freaking camera. And then you gotta have extra batteries. Cause if you're filming, you might get 45 minutes maybe out of a battery, and then you got to get all these SD cards, and it's a whole thing. I don't want nothing to do with it. Plus, I'm carrying all the radio gear, so it's like, I want my camera to be as little as possible. Here, I'll show you.
Yep.
That's my setup right there.
So Mike's showing me he's got a tripod with the Rode hooked up to it and a little clamp for his iPhone.
Yeah, simple. Very simple.
It's very cool.
That's it. And then this tripod is a carbon fiber. It's sure not lightweight for being carbon fiber, but it's a newer, however you say.
Pretty sturdy looking.
It's solid. It's K8 MRD proof for sure.
What does that mean? K8 MRD proof.
So I'm not exactly gentle on things.
Okay.
So if it can survive me. It's probably of pretty solid build quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I picked that up for, I think that was about 130 or 140 bucks. So, I mean, I've definitely spent about 500 bucks just on the microphone, the wireless system, the lav mic, and the tripod. So, you know, it costs money to make free videos too.
Yeah, it does. So what's your take on resolutions? I know people are starting to post 4K 60 videos, or I know Charlie is doing 1440.
Dude, I just got a 4K TV last year. Mm-hmm. Up until then I had 720.
Oh, nice.
So I think they look great.
Yeah.
Like the 4K videos. I record most of my videos, I think, are 1080. And I didn't even realize what I was recording in until about a year ago when I was looking at the camera settings on the phone. It's like, oh, I can do 4K with this phone. It's just a stupid amount of memory.
Yeah, it would take up the whole phone's space if you did a couple hours of video.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just more time uploading it. So my computer is insanely slow now. I don't know what's going on with it. So, a new computer is definitely going to be in the future, because this is I edit on a Mac Mini, and it's a 2014, and it's probably edited and rendered enough videos. It's like, all right, I'm dying. Anytime I click anything, you get the beach ball of death. So it's frustratingly slow.
I actually built this computer for videos, and then I stopped making videos. So. It's just a really buff computer that does audio, and audio doesn't really take that much processing, right?
Not at all. I was talking with Jason, KM4ACK, a couple days ago, and he was telling me he'd got one of the new MacBook Airs with that M1 processor, and he was just raving. Josh says the same thing, just raving at how incredibly fast they are.
Oh, yeah. So the next computer I get will probably be an M1. Either a Mac Mini or Air. I mean, it seems powerful enough to do what you want with video, but at the same time, super, super tiny or super thin.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you plan to do? I mean, you're talking about being excited to go out there and get more videos out. I don't know if you want to tease anything or if you want to.
I don't really have much to tease per se, but, I've got quite a bit of product review stuff that I just haven't been able to get to with my work schedule. So there's literally a bunch of stuff just sitting in the corner here, just waiting to be reviewed. I got a new Baofeng in the mail too.
Oh, okay.
'Cause I need more of those.
Yeah, I think you need more.
I think so there might be some Bofang.
You need like
a Bofang review coming up.
You need more, like 10 more, 10 more of those.
Dude, I love my Bofangs. I love them. They're just, you know, I don't know why. I never get on VHF or UHF. I just have such an obsession with HTs. I only have two that aren't Chinese. I've got two Yaesus. Everything else is like, I've got three DMR radios from various Chinese manufacturers. And I think this is my eighth Bofang that I just got. I've got a couple others that I don't even know what are, but yeah. So what do I plan to do? I'm going to keep doing, I'm basically going to keep doing what I've been doing, but more frequently. So
cool.
Although I will be adding, I'm gonna start diving into the live streams. Those are fun. So Jason from Ham Radio 2.0 and I just started. I crashed at his house a couple weeks ago after the Support Your Parks weekend, and we just decided we're like, hey, let's do a live stream. And this is like, we got home, we had dinner, we went to the bar and had a couple beers, and then it was probably about 10:30 at night. We finally got back home and hopped on a live stream,
yeah.
And just impromptu, like no notification.
Yeah, I got the, because like I signed there. Up for Ham Radio 2.0's text.
Yeah,
you know, so he sends a text out. I'm like, and it's like 8:30 at night on a Friday for me. Yep. I'm like, what the heck? So I hop on my computer, and sure enough, live stream with Kate MRD.
So we've decided we're gonna do this kind of. What are we calling it? Late shift, happy hour or something like that. I don't even remember. But it's at 10 o'clock Central. We're going to be doing it. We're going to alternate his channel and then my channel. So this Friday, so tomorrow we'll be on my channel.
Nice.
And then next week we'll be on his channel. I think we're going to take a break for like Huntsville and a couple other things are going on, like Hamfest and things like that. Mm-hmm. But whenever we can, I mean, at 10 o'clock at night, if you think about it, that's actually a really good time. Folks are getting home from work. They do their afternoon ablutions, if you will, mm-hmm. go to dinner, go shopping, what, you know, do all your stuff that you do after work. By about 10 o'clock, unless you're a teenager or in your 20s, I think most of us are kind of like wound down by then.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, why do you think late night TV shows do so well?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Friday at 10, I think we peaked at about 200 viewers last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, which that's just fantastic. So if we can keep that up, just more consistency is going to drive more viewers to the channel. It's gonna, YouTube will, through their, I hate using the word algorithm. That's like the word of the year now, but
yeah,
the YouTube algorithm,
the algorithm
will do its magic and it pushes. I mean, again, in the analytics, you see it's pushing your video in front of. So like when you get finished watching a video and then YouTube suggests another one, that's, you can track that. And it'll show you like this video is being watched more per, like when it's put in front of someone, it's being clicked on more than usual. So, you know, look at what you did. I think just the thumbnail from my last video probably garnered a lot more views. Just, it was, I just felt it was a nicely I suck at making thumbnails, but I felt that this one was like a good one. You know?
Yeah. That's something I don't fully get yet is the whole, design.
It's judging
a
book by its cover.
Yeah, basically.
We all say, don't judge a book by its cover. Well, that's exactly how we judge a book. So if you have a good, catchy thumbnail, mm-hmm. and that's why Jason's always making the goofy faces. Like he's gone to seminars that have been put on by Google or people who know how to really get your stuff out. It's like those goofy faces and those stupid thumbnails are what make you want to click on it.
Yeah.
And that's why he does that. So yeah, the art of the thumbnail is something that I've still got to master. Josh has great thumbnails as well. Yeah. Before I didn't even know how to make a thumbnail. I just like YouTube, when you upload a video to YouTube, it'll just capture like four screenshots and it'll let you select those.
Yeah.
So that was my, like half of my YouTube career was just those. And I'm like, well, all of these suck, but let's go with this one. And then I was actually watching one of Callum's videos, and he's like, yeah, so I use this program called Canva, and here's how I do all of this. And I was like, holy crap, I can do that. So I started using Canva to make all my thumbnails.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. And then there's like a removebg.com, remove background, so you can take pictures of stuff and get rid of the background.
It's kind
of
like, make it a little bit better. That's what I did early on when I was making the battery videos. It's just like, okay, yep, I'll just pick the best one of these four that I screen capped.
Yeah.
Hopefully that works. But then,
and if the camera is pointed at the same thing for the whole video, that's fine. But usually it would suggest, so like if you look at, I have a video, it's like a bioeno endurance test or something like that. I was like, and the face is just like me gnashing my teeth looking at the camera. Is like the worst. It's like worse than your driver's license picture, right? And that's what YouTube picked for me.
It's like, oh, that's good.
So that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I found out, okay, thumbnails actually help. So I actually just took my own screen cap and then used a meme generator, I think, to put that text on there just about what it was. And then I uploaded my own thumbnail. But I've never heard of Canva or any of the other tools that you're using there.
Yeah, these are some inside tips.
Yeah, so I know people are listening, and part of the reason I wanted to, you know, bring you back on the show here and just talk with you is basically, it's kind of selfish. I wanted to know the story and I wanted to talk to you a little bit, but I also wanted to get more awareness on it. Hopefully get more people to check out your more frequent videos now, and also your live stream for Friday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific time, which is the only time that I'm thinking about, but convert that to whatever time you're in. But how else can the fans help? Tell us, what can we do? I know that you recently put up a Patreon, of which I did. I subscribed, or I was very hesitant
to do that. And, Jason, again, KM4ACK kind of pushed me over the edge on that. And really just kind of inspired me, because I was like, I don't want to ask for money.
Yeah.
But he's like, dude, people have asked me for the longest time. I've had a lot of comments from people over the years. Like, dude, do you have a Patreon or YouTube membership or something like that, that I can, just because they've gotten so much.
Yeah.
They tell me they've gotten so much out of my videos.
There's a lot of people like that they're just like, they really appreciate this person putting these videos out, and they're like, well, how can I show my support? How can I contribute to this? Mm-hmm. Maybe even help this person make more videos or get better gear to make, you know, more videos. And it's just kind of a natural progression.
Like I get it now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so.
So the first thing I thought when I saw your channel, I'm like clicking around on your about link, right? Trying to find your links to your Patreon or, you know, like I know that the tech prepper is doing Buy Me a Coffee, and that's getting a lot of traction too. It's like people want to find a way to give to the people they like, you know?
Yeah, it's really awesome. And I've gotten way more people on already. You can go to patreon.com/K8MRD radio stuff, by the way.
There you go.
Shameless plug. I've already gotten way more patrons. What are they? Patrons?
Patrons, yes.
I've already gotten way more than I would have ever thought already. So again, just the selflessness and the positivity in the amateur radio community is overwhelming. It really is. You know, we joke a lot about the old grumpy guys on the Zed, but it's really like three guys, or the guys on 75 meters talking about their hemorrhoids or whatever, you know, like there are the grumpy old men out there, but by and large, the amateur radio community is full of just absolutely fantastic people. And you're one of them, Dennis. I mean, you've given so many quality Denko batteries to so many people, just because you and I kind of geeked out about batteries early on, and you took it like 18 million steps beyond.
It's kind of like, K6ARK is another example. You want to iterate and you want to improve. And then after you're done, you're like, what am I going to do with all this stuff I made? Like, I don't need this much. And so that's where those end up. It's like, basically everyone's getting my prototypes and my iteration, you know, 1 through 10.
I believe that, but you catered all of those to each individual operator.
Oh yeah, that
they
too.
Were doing. But so these aren't just, don't let him fool you, audience. He's being humble. These are not just your scraps that are, oh, I'm done with this battery, you can have it. But it's that generosity, that selflessness that exists in the amateur radio community, and the willingness for people to help is just fantastic. So getting back to it. So another way, if you don't want to become a patron, here's another fantastic way to help out really any YouTuber. In the description of all my videos, there are links to Amazon. There's Amazon links. Okay. Now you don't have to buy that particular product. So let's say you click on the link for the 20 amp hour BioNO battery or any Amazon affiliate link there. You don't have to buy that product. If you need to buy something on Amazon, just click one of those links, get to Amazon through those links, and then go about your day and buy whatever you need. By being funneled to Amazon through my link or our any affiliate link, that affiliate is going to receive a small commission for whatever you buy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's typically not a lot. I mean, it's, you might spend $1,000 and I might receive like $5, $10. I mean, it's very little, but as the community builds, all of those little transactions add up, and that really helps. So between the YouTube revenue and the Amazon affiliate account,
I don't think I've posted a video in maybe a year and a half and I'm still getting Amazon residual. Mm-hmm. Like I got $14 the other day.
Nice.
Like, what times are people buying, you know? But yeah, don't you have stories about some of the, cause you get to see what people buy, right? Is it, or it doesn't identify people. So don't get scared, audience.
Completely anonymous. You have no idea who's buying what. But yes, you can see what has been purchased. And there's been some comical things. I won't get into too many details, but let's just say some more adult-oriented products would be about the most G way I could say that.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's just affiliate links are very, very helpful
and
as well.
There's nothing wrong with those products either, by the way. But it's neat to see, like, so when I did my my Go Box build or my battery box builds, I'll see like all the parts that from like what I used are being purchased because I list them all there.
Yeah,
and it's like sweet, somebody's making a battery box, and like that's just so cool to see all of that stuff. But yeah, honestly, like if you need a new TV, whatever you're gonna buy on Amazon, doesn't matter. Just get to Amazon through my affiliate link and then go shopping. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost you any more, doesn't cost you any less. It's exactly the same transaction. Prime still works. Everything still works exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But they're giving the affiliates a little bit of a commission, and that does help. All those little transactions over the month, they add up. So it's more than a cup of coffee, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Patreon and the Amazon affiliate links, and just watching the videos, share them.
Yep.
That's huge, because and the more people that watch the videos, the more views it gets, the more my videos are worth to the advertisers. So my ad revenue goes up. Mm-hmm. It's all about views. That's really all it is with YouTube.
So get lots of views, that bumps it up. When you start doing live streams, how are you feeling about the live stream coming up?
Super chats are open, by the
way. Super chats. That's what I was going to say. But
no, the live streams are great. I love them.
Are you all set? Fun. Have you tested it out?
So I'm using a different software. I was for the YouTubers Hamfest, I was using Zoom and trying to funnel that into OBS. And on a Mac, Zoom and OBS just don't, they don't jive very well. or at least my lack of computer skills make it not jive very well. So I downloaded, what's it called? StreamYard, I feel.
Yep.
And I'm looking at everyone else use this. It's got to be easy because there's no, it's just like Zoom, but it automatically broadcasts to YouTube. I scheduled the premiere, or I scheduled the Friday night late shift thing through StreamYard, and it automatically went to my YouTube channel. I was able to upload the thumbnail and everything through StreamYard. So I'm sure I'll still manage to fail somewhere, but
yeah,
it's I have to learn these things.
I have to
it
note
can't be that difficult
because I've been on a couple of these StreamYard streams with like Coffee and Ham Radios and the Ham Radio Clubhouse, and don't use Firefox. I'm a Firefox user, and
I have to use Firefox.
But you use Safari, right? You use the default browser.
StreamYard does not work with Safari. I had to download. So I will not download Chrome. I despise Chrome.
So you have to use Firefox?
You have. Well, it's not compatible with Safari. So my choices were Firefox or Chrome. Well,
I had problems with Opera or with Windows Firefox, and Firefox.
I've been on a few streams with it, and it works fine with Firefox.
So for Mac and Firefox, it's fine. But I used Firefox with Windows, and anytime someone else would join, they'd just be a black screen and I can't hear them. So I'm just sitting there smiling and nodding and I have no idea what's going on, right? I'd have to load the YouTube and then just watch, make sure that, see if something funny was going on. It was really odd and awkward.
Yeah. But, no, I've not had a problem at all. So
yeah, I'm like you.
Now that you say that, I'm sure I will.
I don't want to download Chrome. And I think that's mostly from memory. That's like, I think it's probably fine now, but back in the day when I used Chrome exclusively, it was a memory hog and it would just destroy the performance of my computer. So I'm like, never again, going back to Firefox.
I just don't like the interface. I love Safari. I absolutely love Safari.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to use Chrome at work and it's just, I hate it. I hate it. Anyway.
So we've talked a little bit about Ham Radio 2.0. Any other notable hams that reacted to your decision? Did anything crazy or?
I wouldn't say anything crazy, no. But I mean, Josh and his wife Leia were talking about me on the podcast and just, you know, kind of giving their condolences, if that's the word, and you know, just throwing out, hey, if anybody knows anything, contact Mike. So that was really really humbling to hear that, because actually someone emailed them. It was during their 4-hour email chat now, because their podcast is so long now, but it's great. And towards the end of one of their more recent episodes, someone had emailed in and had mentioned me, and then they threw a shout out my way. So that was really nice to hear.
Yeah,
and again, just kind words and positivity and all that stuff. So it's like, this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in corporate America. I want to be where I'm surrounded by positivity and folks willing to help another human being out. So that's what I'm going to try and do.
Yep.
And hopefully I succeed because I don't want to go back to work.
I'm absolutely rooting for you. I think it was maybe last week or the week before I texted you and I was like, are you really going full-time YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, however I can help. I think there's a lot of people like me that they're just like, how can we help?
Yeah. Another, probably the best thing anyone could do, if you know tomorrow's winning lottery numbers,
there we go.
Go ahead and forward those to me. I'm good on QRZ. We'll split it.
Well, depending on when this airs, yeah, you're going to get some random numbers being sent to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to George from Pac-10 yesterday, and I asked him the same thing. He's like, I'm working on it. So, I've got a few irons in the fire on that one.
And that's another thing. I do hope that you are able to do more reviews. Definitely very interesting videos when you do those. And I know that you have you know, you've talked with several of the manufacturers in the past, mm-hmm. had a chance to talk about some stuff from like Wolf River Coil, BioEno, mm-hmm. Pactena.
I just started talking with Chameleon. I've got one of their antennas.
So that's really a great thing, because then we get to see some of the cool stuff that's coming out.
Yep.
Via your channel.
And the great thing with Huntsville coming up, I'll get to meet a lot more vendors and hopefully weasel my way into their wheelhouse as well.
So you're going to be like the reporter on the scene, you know, K8MRD here at the Elecraft booth.
Where, I just might be.
Yeah.
I'm taking Jason's spot, because Jason's got a cameraman with Frank. So
I've got to
do it all myself.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool. Yeah, I want to get in front of as many people as possible. So
yeah, looking forward to it.
And I think I've got a big enough channel now that, there's no way I can say this without sounding boastful, but I would kind of have a bit of like clout, I guess, would maybe that's the right word, mm-hmm. you know, to where I can introduce myself to vendors and say, hey, I'm Mike, I'm K8MRD radio stuff. Huge antenna nerd, so you know, if you want to have some product reviews, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know if that should be my approach or not, but I got to come up with a pitch. But yeah, just to meet vendors and get an eyeball with them, and you know, just an introduction into hopefully blossoming relationships, because it's a win-win for everyone, you know. I get content, you get free advertising. Well, the cost of a product or whatever, you know, if it's expensive, I don't care. I'll send it back. Mm-hmm. It's like to play with stuff. And I've done that before, like that GSOC, that horrible thing. Radio Oddity sent it to me. They're like, here, you can have it on loan. Keep it for however long you need it and send it back. I was like, okay. And mm-hmm. I mean, even if they would have sent it to me for free, I wouldn't want that. I don't have a use for it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I don't need more radios. I mean, I definitely need more HTs. I think I only have like 15 15 or 16 right now, of which I'm actually going to be giving a bunch of those away. Antennas, I have no clue how many antennas I own at this point, but I'll never have enough. I'm just such an antenna nerd. And same thing with batteries. Those two things just grabbed me in amateur radio. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still love the radios, don't get me wrong, but it's like, for me, like antennas would be number one, batteries would be number two, and radios would be number three.
Yeah.
On my kind of hierarchy of needs, if you will.
Well, I'm really hoping that you get your hands on one of those Lab 599 TX500 radios.
Those
are
neat. Jason's got one.
Super flat.
I was playing with it at field day. I mean, I held it, but it's a solid bit of kit.
If I ever was looking at another, I'm not looking for another HF radio, but if mm-hmm. I were, that would probably be top of the list right there.
It looks so cool. I mean, I've watched probably every video on YouTube about that radio.
Yeah.
And to actually hold it in your hands, it looks a lot bigger on TV. I mean, it's still a decent size, don't get me wrong, but it's to actually have it in your hands, it's like it's just quality crafted machined aluminum. I mean, everything is in its place. It's rigid where it needs to be rigid. The knobs are nice. Everything about it is very, very high quality.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm a huge fan of the connectors they use on it.
Yeah, well,
I understand why they did, but it's like, oh man.
What is it? And it's all about waterproofing, right? It's the waterproofing connector.
Yeah.
So that's why they do that, but.
And I don't like the fact that there's no speaker on it. It's only the hand mic that has the speaker in it. So
yeah,
that's I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker, but it's unfortunate. But
I mean, it looks like a shield. Waterproof
speakers. Come on, you know, speakers and boats and stuff.
Yeah, that thing is just a piece of metal. Looks like you can use it to bounce bullets off of, and you know, wear it as a front plate armor.
We'll do that with yours.
But that's the thing, you know, I have you got the 705. I picked up one.
Yeah.
I love the radio, but it's just big enough that it's a pain to pack.
So I have mine in probably the biggest Go box that I have, which is kind of ironic, and not the biggest one, but my 7300 goes in one of the bigger ones. But I have a bigger one of those Harbor Freight cases that I put the 705 in, just because it's not as K8MRD proof. Like it's I feel it's a little more fragile. It's a fantastic radio, but for a portable guy who's not delicate with things, I want to keep it protected. So I have it in one of the bigger Harbor Freight cases. But I have found that because I keep my Zygo X5105 in one of those Carhartt lunch bags that I use, and the X5105 is in a Crown Royal bag. Well, I decided one day to see if the 705 would fit in the Crown Royal bag, and indeed it does. So I can fit the 705 because I want the radio in a bag inside the bag. So the speaker mic, and I've got tent stakes in the bag and antennas and batteries and stuff, but it can all fit in that tiny little Carhartt lunch bag that I have. So it is more portable than I carry it.
I would just probably cry if I ever dropped the 705. I know that it would probably break.
I know.
Whereas and like I was looking at those
POV cases. I think I'll get one, but that only protects the front. Nothing protects the bag. Temporarily Offline just did a video with that Windcamp case.
A cage.
Yeah. And that looks to be a bit more rigid. You know, or I mean, the POV is rigid as all get out, too. I've held it. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. But the Windcamp one covers the back, too. But yeah, I don't want to drop it. I put the case like in the middle of the table. I take it out very carefully. I screw the tripod on and... Yes. There it stays, but it's like if somebody were to trip over the coax or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That radio's done. If you drop that, it is done.
So, it's everyone's precious, and we baby that radio.
Yeah. My 891's fallen over. When I was doing the Frozen Lakes on the air, I had one of those chairs from Harbor Freight. I love Harbor Freight, by the way. It's like one of those folding camping chairs, and it's got this table that kicks out on the side. Mm-hmm. Well, I had the radio on that little table that kicked out to the side, and I stood up. Well, that radio has enough weight to make the chair fall over. So it fell over on the ice.
Yeah.
Didn't faze it. Actually got snow inside of it. I'm like, no, and I'm blowing it out, freaking out.
But, I have the 857, and I've dropped that thing before.
Yep. And yeah. So I don't like Yaesu's bigger radios, but that 891 is just a beast. I mean, it's my main portable radio. So, but other than that, I like the Icoms better. They're all good. Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike any of them, but I was using that FTDX 10 over the weekend, a couple weekends ago. And I was like, I don't know.
Anyway, we've gone on a super tangent of radios and gear, but anything else you want to say before we close out?
I think we pretty much hit it all. Other than thank you for having me back on. I'm the first.
You're the first return guest. Yeah.
So that's pretty humbling.
And this is episode number 50. So I think this podcast has been going for 1 year now. I think I started in July of last year, right around the time that we did the QSO Today Virtual Expo, which again, another one is coming up in August.
But, yeah, they're cranking those things out.
Yeah. Supposedly this is still season one of this podcast. So that's quite a few episodes in a season. I don't know when the season's going to end.
I mean, there's 52 weeks in a year, so.
But thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk with you. I thought I would also have it as an interview type thing. I wanted to just see what was going through your mind and, you know, how you're doing and what's going on, where you plan to go with this. It's very admirable. You know, I've been laid off before. That's not quite what happened to you, but I imagine it's a very similar kind of shock. And I think you're taking it in a good direction. And again,
let's hope so.
I really hope that you succeed with this. I'm here to help in what way I can. And this is my platform. So I thought I would try to get some some attention to what's going on with you. Hopefully get you more viewers, more affiliate link clickers.
Yeah, love those affiliate links. And patrons.
Yeah, and more patrons. And
yes.
Yeah. So wish you luck, and I'll be looking forward to the upcoming videos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. So I'll say 7-3 for now. Catch you later.
73.
You've been listening to Hamden Thoughts by 86DM. Thanks a lot, and we'll catch you again next time.
Hey, Dennis, wanted to give you a shout out. Loving the podcast. I've caught up on all but a couple of episodes. Want to let you know everything that you and your guests have been doing is really entertaining. I've caught up on all but maybe a couple of episodes. Keeps me entertained while I'm at work burning the midnight oil. Just want to let you know everything that you're doing is amazing and awesome, and I can't wait to see more in the future. This is Ryan, KI5FWJ73s.